British Sky Broadcasting presents Next, starring Nicolas Cage and Julianne Moore. Sleek blue graphics announce that this is a Saturn Films Virtual Studios production. Based on the story The Golden Man by Philip K. Dick. The outline of a man walking. A slender dial moves across an ornate clock face. The face of a woman flashes up. The woman's face is now clearer. She has long, curling golden hair. A man sits in a formica and leatherette diner, sipping from a surprisingly formal martini glass garnished with two green olives. Appearing weary of waiting, he consults his wristwatch and then the clock on the wall. He clicks a button on his watch and spins round to look expectantly at the doorway to the diner, which remains obstinately empty. The man looks crestfallen and wipes his brow. A garishly lit modern city at night. A showgirl checks her makeup in a mirror. The man from the diner, now in a tux, passes her in the corridor leading to a stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the man who knows what you're going to do before you do it, the amazing Frank Keller!
He walks on stage, holding his jacket open.
Here's the world peace.
The audience seem barely impressed by his producing two white doves from his cuffs.
Good evening. Welcome to beautiful downtown Las Vegas. How many people are here from the Orient? Raise your hands. You, sir, where are you from? No, wait, don't tell me. I'm sensing you must have soul. You're a soul man. Why don't you share with everyone where you're from?
Korea.
How about that, folks? And may I assume that this charming young lady is your daughter?
My wife.
Well, of course she is. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What's your name?
Youngkyung.
Youngkyung. Would you be kind enough to join me up on stage, please?
Are you serious about this guy? This a joke? Want me to round up some moms and clowns while we're at it?
Youngkyung, what if I told you that pretty necklace you're wearing has a broken catch and on my count of three will fall into your drink? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that just blow your mind?
Yeah.
Yes, wouldn't it blow all your minds? 3, 2, 1, now. Did somebody say spooky? Well, wait a minute. Look at your glass. Where'd it go? Youngkyung, why don't you look inside my pocket? Reach in, dig deep. Let's have a big hand for Youngkyung. Well, that's magic, folks, and that's why I'm here.
You've probably seen a lot of those shows. Mentalists, magicians, illusionists. You'd be shocked to know that sometimes, not often, but sometimes, it's the real deal. Masquerading as an act. Hiding behind a few $50 tricks. Hiding in plain sight. Because if the magician doesn't do that, The alternative is impossible for others to live with. Anyway, Wednesday night at the back page doesn't pay very well, so I gamble. But I don't play against other people, only against the house. So, no mega jackpots, no long shots. The idea is to go unnoticed. That way I can keep coming back. I'm not a god. I can't see everyone's future, only my own. And only within 2 minutes, except for when I saw her. But we'll come back to that.
There's no pattern to this guy. He's all over the map.
Oh, he's not counting, not off the top of a five-deck shoe.
Wait a minute. Isn't it that two-bit magic act over at the back page? What's his name?
Cadillac. Yeah, it's Frank Cadillac.
Is he pulling tricks on us? Is that legal?
You can't trick the deck.
I'm telling you, that little prick knows what's coming.
If he's running that good a system, why is he not betting more?
That's gonna be my second question.
Look at that, he's looking right at us. It's like he can hear us.
What table was that?
27.
This is Roy Bow, give me 2 minutes on table 27, coming right down.
Place your bets, please.
Here's the thing about the future. Every time you look at it, it changes. Because you looked at it. And that changes everything else.
9,017.
Empty the drawer. Move.
Drop the gun now!
Hi. 9,070.
Frank now intercepts the robber before he can hold up the pay desk and shoot the staff.
Drop the gun! Step back!
It's his gun! He was gonna shoot two people!
Step back, we'll settle this right now. Hey!
What's he doing?
Secure the doors, elevators, escalators, every way out of this damn place, now!
Freeman, seal off the blackjack tables. Sullivan, link up with Roybal.
Cadillac disappears into the thronging casino. He ducks down by a fruit machine as a security man passes by, then walks briskly away when he has gone.
On the floor, right now.
Bring up the other cameras.
That way, this way.
Frank lights a cigarette and stoops down as another guard passes close by. He then leans back against the machine, inhaling on the cigarette, as another knot of security men appear. He is caught on CCTV.
He's right next to you. $10 slots, aisle 14.
He moves away again, timing his every move impeccably so that other people just seem to happen to be shielding him from the view of the security guards.
He's right between you.
Cadillac moves smoothly through the casino to the washroom.
He's in the men's room, near the gift shop.
Cadillac removes his tux and stuffs it in the bin. Now in just his black t-shirt, he leans against the wall for a moment to await the arrival of the man who comes in to wash his face. As he does this, Cadillac deftly takes the man's hat from the side and slides back out into the casino. He bends down by a vending machine as two security men rush past and go into the men's room.
Davis, where the hell is he?
Black t-shirt, straw hat, heading towards the entrance.
Well, let's go.
Cadillac exits through the glass front doors of the casino, tossing the straw hat to one side as he goes. As a group of people are ushered out of a limo, he slips unobtrusively into the driver's seat and speeds away. The security men arrive breathlessly in the portico.
Call Vegas PD.
Just stole a silver Charger tag, 585G4S.
Cadillac notes the posse of police cars now on his tail and guns the stolen vehicle through heavy traffic. Cadillac motors with startling assurance through the busy streets of downtown. He leads the posse of police cars into more suburban streets, keeping a wary eye on his mirror all the while. Accelerating to 85, he suddenly collides with a passing freight train. He approaches the level crossing again. He now accelerates to 110 and sails across, just missing the locomotive. The police screech to a halt and wait for the long train to rumble past. The CCTV replays Cadillac's intervening to stop the robbery at the casino.
He rose to the top of our gambling fraud wish list about 2 months ago. Now, what he does has nothing to do with luck. It's definable ability. Look at him. He knows exactly what to do to not be caught. Can you explain that to me?
No, I can't explain it, Callie, nor do I have the time. The Russian Federation has a 10-kiloton nuclear munition unaccounted for.
I understand that.
I'm not sure you do. We need every agent available beating the street. That bomb was stolen 5 weeks ago. We've just been informed of it now, which means it could be parked under this truck for all we know. I need actionable intelligence, not paranormals and bullshit magicians.
With all due respect, sir, this bullshit magician has shown a pattern of advanced awareness that is statistically impossible. You let me bring him in and you'll get what you want.
5 days, Callie. That's it.
The man leaves. Callie turns to the row of operatives.
Get me the head of casino security.
You Roybal?
It's Roybal.
Whatever.
Who are you?
Kavanaugh. Take a walk. Hey, Roybal, this isn't a pissing contest. Come on.
Roybal unwillingly accompanies the FBI man. Cadillac drives the stolen car at speed into a motor workshop. The doors slide shut behind him.
What'd you do? You got a new car?
Stolen.
Oh, look at this. 20 minutes to walk 20 steps. Well, that's what you get from two packs a day.
Oh, hey. Yeah. I got you two sandwiches.
Two sandwiches? Oh, that's 20 grand.
Come on, take it. I love it.
Oh, gee. How can I repay you?
Oh, must be a bitch to park this thing.
Kavanaugh brings Roybal to the huge FBI trailer. Callie looks up.
Chief Roybal, Special Agent Ferris.
I'm sure Agent Kavanaugh's explained to you that everything you say is admissible in court and anything you knowingly admit can be used against you. Do we understand each other?
Sure.
Tell me about Chris Johnson.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, how about Frank Cadillac? You chased him out of your casino tonight. He stole a car from valet parking.
Yeah, I know Cadillac. I thought he was cheating us at cards. Next thing I know, he's tackling some guy and waving a gun.
Well, the gun wasn't his. The man he tackled is wanted for two casino killings in Reno. He's in custody now. Come on, I'll show you some. You remember this?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. We were saying he's looking right at us. Hey, how'd you get this?
Well, think carefully. What were you talking about right when he looked up?
We were saying if he has a system, why isn't he betting more?
You sure you weren't doing or saying anything else?
I was going down to pick him up. I was reaching for my ring.
And right then, that's when he looked up. Be very specific.
That's what I said. He looked up, really.
So he doesn't have to be there to do it. Once you enter his consciousness, he can pick it up.
Was that to work his system?
Thank you. We're finished.
Done some good here, Mr. Roybal. But none of it is up for discussion. Now, as far as you're concerned, Chris Johnson never existed.
That's gonna be difficult considering 100 cameras saw him at the casino.
Not to worry. The tapes have been destroyed.
Hey, she's single?
Chris, you can't keep stealing cars and having people chase you. That's not a life. But you gotta forget this girl that you keep seeing in your head.
I'm not going anywhere until I meet her.
Well, suppose she don't show up?
She already did. At the diner. 9 minutes after 8.
Well, you got a couple hours. How about a game of pool?
All right, Irv. We'll shoot some pool.
We timed every hand at blackjack. The longest was 89 seconds when Johnson pulled a 6-card 21.
So we know he can see at least a minute and a half ahead.
I had our techs run a radio frequency spectrum analysis. It came up dry. She's not receiving any form of electronic help. At one point, there was a 2-minute, 16-second delay. He never bet, just got up and walked away.
Well, maybe 216's too long, he can't see that far. Narrows our window a little bit anyway.
Got him. Vegas PD got a LoJack hit on the stolen vehicle.
Cadillac shoots pool with the old man from the motor workshop.
Okay. Listen, about that girl. When you looked at the clock, did you happen to see a calendar? Because it could be 10 years from now she gets hungry.
It's gotta be soon. I've never seen further ahead than 2 minutes, except for her.
Now, what do you think the reason is for that?
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't scare easy. Maybe she's the one.
Well, when you get like this, there's no talking to you.
She's almost here.
What happened to the diner?
Somebody else, a cop.
A cop? Well, then you gotta go.
Hold on, I wanna see how much she knows, what she wants from me.
Chris Johnson, still here, huh?
Where else would I be?
Special Agent Ferris, next time steal a car without LoJack. Can we speak privately?
It's okay, Irv. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Irv walks unsteadily and slowly away.
I'm sure you know why I'm here. Because you're the man who knows what I'm going to do before I do it, right?
Oh, the show, right. Right. I saw you there. Wonderful. You like magic tricks.
Yeah, I do. Like your magic tricks, clairvoyance, whatever you're calling it. Stuck with something hard. A stolen nuclear munition is being smuggled into the United States, or may, in fact, already be here. I want you to look ahead and tell me where it's going to be deployed.
I think you've got the wrong guy. It's, Magic Act.
You gonna stick with that story? Because millions of lives are at risk, and you could maybe prevent a major catastrophe. On a practical note, we're standing in front of a stolen vehicle, and you are wanted for assault involving a weapon at the casino.
All right, that was an accident. He had a gun. He was gonna shoot two people.
Yeah. How'd you know that?
He seems to acknowledge that Ferris has caught him out.
No good deed goes unpunished, does it? I can fix your legal problems, buddy, but you've got to step up. Otherwise, your next magic show is going to be at Folsom State Prison.
It's ironic, but people like you who try to help have been torturing me, in the full sense of the word, since I was 3 years old. What do they call it? Observed play therapy. Featuring the marathon, 36-hour, can you guess the next flashcard game? So please, leave me alone and let me live some semblance of a normal life.
I'd love to indulge your feelings, but I am dealing with a slightly larger picture right now. Now you can exercise your responsibility to help your fellow man, or I will exercise that responsibility for you.
The workshop door slides open, and the FBI swarm in. At least Cadillac gets the premonition of this.
Right, I gotta go.
As Cadillac runs at speed out through the back of the workshop, numerous black SUVs converge on the place. Ferris gestures to the troop to wait as she moves inside to where Irv is solitarily practicing pool shots.
He's gone, right? I missed him by seconds, didn't I?
The multicolored high-rise skyline of Las Vegas. Roy Ball walks briskly through a car park.
Excuse me, honey, can you get off my car?
Yeah, thank you.
Jeez. Mr. Roy Ball? It's Roy Ball. Can I help you, man?
I have a few questions, if this is a good time.
Gaming commission, it's after hours. You guys should be at a strip club, right? Come on.
What can you tell us about Chris Johnson?
I don't know who you're talking about.
She callously pulls a gun and shoots his leg. The man kneels next to the agonized Roy Ball.
Let me rephrase the question.
The man produces a flick knife. Back in the diner, the second hand sweeps across the face of the wall clock. Cadillac, or Chris Johnson as he is also known, sits sipping his martini. He rather mournfully eyes the clock and then, checking his watch, turns to look at the door. Cars pass, palm fronds shiver, but no one enters. He turns back again, checking his watch and then the clock. Clicking the button on his watch, he spins back to face the door. Now coming through the doorway is the young woman with the long, curling golden hair. She has blue eyes and full lips and a clear complexion. Johnson stares as she sways slowly past him, seated at the bar, and goes to sit at a table at the far end of the diner. As she takes the menu from the waitress, Johnson gets down from his bar stool and approaches her briskly.
Excuse me. Hello. I noticed you were alone too. Do you mind if I join you?
Actually, I do.
Behind the rebuffed Johnson, Johnson is still seated at the bar. He gets up and approaches the young woman again.
Sorry to bother you, but I have a question about the coffee. The bean they use...
Isn't that something you should probably ask your waitress?
Yes, it is.
She smiles wryly and returns to the menu. Johnson approaches again, patting his pockets.
Excuse me, do you have a light?
I don't smoke.
Here you go, hon.
Thanks.
Before he can get up, she raises her hand.
Please. Don't.
He has no choice but to take her seriously and sinks back into his seat. Through the door behind Johnson walks a young man in a white linen suit, who swaggers confidently the length of the bar to join the young woman at the table.
Hey, Liz.
Did you follow me here, Kendall?
No! No, I just thought we could talk.
You know, we got really nothing to talk about. And I told you that 3 weeks ago.
Liz, come on, all right? I had an off day. Just give me another shot.
It's not gonna happen, okay? So maybe you should just go.
Do you know how hard it was to find you? I was at your apartment. I tried the Starbucks on Lexington. I was at the dry cleaner. All I am asking for is a few minutes of your time so that we can work things out.
Okay, Jesus, you are stalking me now.
Don't say that, please. That's a terrible thing to say to somebody.
Let go of me, Kendall.
Look, I thought we could talk. You know, maybe we could take a drive, and now you are ruining it.
You're hurting me.
Kendall, I think you're having another off day.
Who the hell are you?
I'm her future.
Really?
Johnson knows in advance how to avoid Kendall's punches.
Hi, my name's Chris. You okay, Kendall? The thing is, I feel connected. And I don't know the reason why. Now listen. I think it's only fair that you pay for the ladies' breakfast. Well, what are you having? Pecan pie's amazing.
Oh, excuse me. I can pay for my own breakfast. You know what? You two work things out.
She gets up to leave.
You're hurting me.
Kendall, I think you're having another off day.
Who the hell are you?
I'm her future.
Really?
Incoming.
This time, Johnson takes the punch.
Oh, God damn it, Kendall!
What? Don't blame me! This is your fault!
Get out of here! Will somebody please call the cops? I am so sorry. Are you okay? Let me help you. Come on, let's get you cleaned up. Come on.
She ushers him gently to her own table.
Stars.
Yeah. I'm Liz.
Chris.
You must have a death wish getting involved in that. Here, just...
Okay.
Just... Okay, hold it there for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
He takes the serviette she has dabbed to his bruised mouth. He looks at her intently.
It will.
What will?
Your luck. It's gonna change.
What are you, a leprechaun?
Do leprechauns get punched in the face or have their car stolen?
Your car was stolen?
Yeah. I'm hoping they find it today. It's supposed to be in Flagstaff. Hey, is this tooth loose here?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It hurts.
Well, listen, maybe I could give you a ride. And I'm kind of going that way.
That would really be helpful, Liz. Thank you.
Well, I do have to make a stop, though.
It's okay.
And it might take a few hours, so cool with that.
Hey, look, if you're uncomfortable with this, I'll take the bus.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, you're not a psycho. Right? Because the first psycho vibe I get, you're out of the car.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Deal.
He offers his hand and they shake. A metallic pink 4x4 purls along an open road crossing an expanse of desert at the foot of a chain of mountains.
It's amazing, isn't it? I end up in a diner where you are, both heading in the same direction.
I don't know if I would call it amazing, but...
Destiny. That's what it really is.
Okay, I'm starting to get that psycho buzz.
Oh, no. You don't believe in destiny?
Well, even if it does exist, I don't think I want to know. I mean, if every move we make is preordained, then what is the point of that? I mean, life is supposed to be a surprise. Isn't it?
It would be nice.
He looks ruefully out of the car window. They continue along a precipice in the mountains. Agent Ferris.
So he came in twice a day for a week at exactly 8:09.
Yeah, he'd stay a few minutes, have a martini, and then he'd go. Till today, when he met that lady.
You didn't find anything strange about that?
Not strange enough to call the police.
We got a regular that counts the cornflakes in his bulk, so it has to be an even number.
Got any cameras?
Inside? No.
Outside?
No.
So you notice what kind of car he was driving? Maybe over here, where they were going?
I don't know what car, but they were headed up to Flagstaff.
Flagstaff.
That's what they said.
Got another regular? She's always on a diet. Brings in a scale and her own salad dressing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Guy knows we're after him, but he still risks coming here.
8:09, twice a day.
He doesn't even know if it's day or night, just the time he was waiting for. All right, there's a traffic cam over there, bank, 7-Eleven across the street. Just run all the tapes, maybe we'll get lucky and catch him in the wide.
Hey, your buddy Roy Bow, the casino chief, had his throat cut last night after getting a kneecap shot off.
You're telling me this now? We just talked to him about Johnson.
Hey, I just found out.
All right. Local weapon?
Dead end. The forensics came up empty. Not a hair, not a fiber.
Somebody wants information. Now, the next time anything happens relative to Johnson, I want to know right away. I don't care if it's a paper cut.
Okay, boss.
Kavanagh gives Ferris a look and walks away. A large container ship lies at anchor in a dock. The container is hoisted off a truck. The man who knifed Roy Bow stands looking on with two other shady figures. A forklift truck removes a crate from the container. The trio look on with particular interest. An equipment case is set down on top of the crate. Two Chinese men get out from the case a large machined stainless steel cylinder. They carry it into another freight container in which another Chinese man sits at a computer next to a large device suspended from chains. The first two men insert the metal cylinder into the device. As the man at the computer taps his keyboard, the others screw the cylinder into place. Roy Bal's killer and one of the other men who wears a grey Mac walk away.
The head of casino security. What did you learn from him?
For a macho guy, he screams like a girl.
But he was questioned by federal agents looking for Chris Johnson, yes?
He said they haven't found him yet.
Do you believe this shit? He can see things before they happen?
It makes no difference what I believe. Look, we spent 2 years setting this up. And that man out there is worried all this will be compromised by Johnson.
We're wasting our time looking for some magician.
We're being paid to secure the operation, Jones, not to hunt down some carnival barker.
Really? Then why are the same authorities that are looking for us so interested in him? Get rid of him. Do it now.
The man in the Mac leaves Roybal's killer in the office with the woman who shot Roybal plus another dangerous-looking young man. Liz's 4x4 cruises along a road skirting the edge of a huge canyon in the mountains. She pulls over by a ramshackle hut. She and Johnson get out of the vehicle.
Hey. Have a suit by reservation. I teach here once a week. The conditions are pretty lousy.
But it's in the canyon. One of the 8 wonders of the world.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Liz.
Well, a couple hundred years ago, this tribe was booming. Plenty of food and a thriving culture. They should be better off. But I guess this was just their destiny.
I'd like to meet their shaman. I read once that in many North American tribes, their shaman's purpose wasn't only healing, but they also claimed to have power over the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. To bring on or stop rain. Even know future events. Mm-hmm. You think that's possible?
I believe anything is possible.
Me too.
She pulls a bright carrier bag from her satchel.
Whose birthday?
One of my students. Hey! Hi! How's it going?
Hello. How is everybody? Good?
Na-ji-lo-we-ta-fui-fu-la.
That's good.
Oh, that was
the last. You messed up on the last part.
On the last part, yeah.
Thought you weren't coming back till next Monday.
Well, I'm not, but it's Jake's birthday. How could I miss that?
Who's that man you're with? Is he your boyfriend?
No, he's not my boyfriend. He's just my friend.
I think he likes you.
Well, why would you say that?
Because he looks at you like my brother looks at his girlfriend.
Liz looks up to see Chris at some distance gazing intently towards her. The children smile at her and turn knowingly towards Chris. Chris picks up a small stone and walks towards them.
Hey, Jack, you want to see some magic? I'll show you something. Come here. I found this rock out in the canyon, and I want you to hold it, because it's a magic rock.
That's right.
Hold it really tight. Keep squeezing. It's magic.
He palms the rock, replacing it with a small lizard.
He won't bite. Happy birthday.
Liz smiles, starting to be won over.
So you're a magician?
Well, I have a small magic act back in Vegas. The Frank Cadillac Show.
I thought your name was Chris.
It is. Frank Cadillac is my stage name.
Should you come up with that?
I picked two things I really liked and I put them together. Frankenstein and Cadillacs.
You are odd. Charming. But odd.
Ferris, in a shooting range, practices shoving a dummy out of the way and then shooting it. Kavanagh approaches.
Fire! Visitor on the range!
Nice. A little close, though.
She shoots the dummy at the other end of the range.
Okay. You were right about the traffic cam. We've got a positive ID.
Liz's 4x4 drives through the night under heavy rain. Chris is now at the wheel. Liz, dozing in the passenger seat, keels over onto his shoulder and snuggles in. He looks down at her. She wakes.
Sorry?
Don't be. It's okay.
Did I drool?
Drool?
Yeah.
What? Drool? No.
Oh my God, he's coming down so hard.
Yeah. I like rain.
I like rain too.
You know, once, I think it was in Denmark, it rained fish because the sun dehydrated the water and took it up into the atmosphere, rehydrated the fish eggs, and they hatched and rained fish.
Is that true?
Yeah, in the clouds. True story. It happened 50 years ago. Just felt like sharing that with you.
They round a bend in the road to find lights shining and men in yellow slickers operating a roadblock.
Road's washed out ahead. You can't cross till morning. Not even then if this keeps up. We'll spin around and go back about 2 miles, take your second left. There'll be a motel there called...
Cliffhanger, thanks.
Right.
Chris does a U-turn. Kavanagh and Ferris examine CCTV footage of the 4x4.
Him, right?
That's it? There's no front plate. Where's the other side?
I don't have it.
What was that on the front window? Go back. Back, back, back. There. Zoom in. That's a permit. Track it and find her.
Chris and Liz enter a pine-clad motel room.
Light a fire.
He goes to the hearth and busies himself with a box of extra long matches. She looks around.
Chris, one little problem.
Oh, no, I'm gonna sleep in the car.
She smiles uncertainly. He lobs her the room key.
Hey, did you hear the joke about the Zen master who ordered the hot dog?
No.
He said he'd have one with everything. Good night.
Good night.
He leaves, pausing a moment on the porch outside. Liz looks torn. He walks away. The 4x4 stands in the misty night. Chris shifts uncomfortably on the rear seat, wrapped in the bed cover she handed him. She lies propped on one elbow in bed, looking uncertain. She gets out of bed and crosses slowly to the window. Pulling the curtain back, she stares sadly out at the car in which Chris continues to toss and turn. Ferris picks Kavanagh up as she walks briskly along a corridor.
What do we have?
We're at the Cliffhanger Motel outside Flagstaff. And we found an Arizona DOT foreman who remembered the Land Cruiser.
Why would he do that?
Well, the road was flooded. He was about to suggest a place to stay.
But Johnson already knew, right?
Exactly.
Callie, it just got worse.
In a briefing room.
All right, people. We've got a nuclear alert, code red, in the Southern California region, L.A. to San Diego, 95% certainty. Nuclear emergency search teams are on the way, but until they get here, can somebody please tell me what my agency, the FBI, is doing about it?
Well, sir, Tier 1 suspects have been interrogated. Cars and premises have been checked, friends and acquaintances. We've opened up surveillance on Tier 2 and 3 suspects, but nothing actionable yet.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Waiting for something actionable? I mean, there are 8 million lives that are precarious at best, so I say we widen the net to slightly suspicious and get some decent intel before this nuke blows up Los Angeles.
All right, Kelly. What do you propose we do next?
I believe that the urgency of the situation compels the use of any and all resources to obtain Chris Johnson. We know where he is. Let my team pick him up.
An entire fleet of black SUVs and other vehicles powers out of FBI HQ. A man observes from a window.
Ils sont en train de se mobiliser. Je compte 9 voitures.
Vous avez l'image?
Oui. He said they're mobilizing.
Standard procedure when security is escalated. Tell them to wrap it up. They lead us straight to Johnson.
Mets-toi tout et fous le camp.
On les suit.
Okay, je suis sur le chemin.
The Frenchman swallows the contents of a small plastic drum, dropping it on the floor where it lands by the prone corpse of a woman. He leaves. At the motel, Liz is wrapped in a towel.
You hungry? There's a coffee shop down the road.
I'd rather eat here if that's okay.
Sure.
Chris sits at a table, deftly folding a piece of paper. Liz emerges from the bathroom, wrapped in a towel, her hair still wet. Chris stops dead and looks at her.
What?
There's an Italian painter named Carlotti, and he defined beauty. He said it was a summation of the parts working together in such a way that nothing needed to be added, taken away, or altered. That's you. You're beautiful.
Chris's twist of paper combusts, revealing a single red rose.
Wow.
He moves closer to her as she stares in delight and awe. He closes his eyes.
That was incredible.
What was?
This.
He moves in and they kiss. Over the rim of a huge canyon flies a large helicopter. In the hold sit Ferris, Kavanagh, and another man.
Right here. This is a good stand-up position and open view in the front of the motel.
We can run multiple point and area surveillance from this road here at that turnout. Get a team with a parabolic set right here.
That's fine, but I also want mobile surveillance. And give me two or three roamers. If he rabbits on us, I want to be flexible. Ferris. Call the local police and flag staff. Tell them to hold the outside perimeter. I want that area locked down.
Body turned up in an apartment with a line of sight to my office. Slit throat like Roybal.
Somebody's trying to follow us to Johnson.
Ferris looks down through the open side of the helicopter. Liz lies with her head on Chris's bare chest, her eyes closed in post-coital bliss.
Maybe there is such a thing as destiny.
His eyes open and he stares up at the motel room ceiling. Ferris and Kavanagh stand in the lee of a silvery 4x4 observing the cliffhanger motel, which is reflected in miniature in the lenses of Kavanagh's enormous binoculars. Liz emerges, walking along the wooden veranda.
Give it 40 seconds.
Liz turns a corner, away from the observers, and walks on, smiling to herself.
So after 2 minutes, he just stopped seeing what's going to happen?
I sure as hell hope so.
Liz, carrying some shopping bags now, walks across the main street of a small town. Parked further up the street is a car from which the pair who attacked and killed Roybal sit observing her. As Liz reaches the curb, Ferris gets out from a parked car.
Elizabeth Cooper? Yeah. Congratulations, Ferris. What is this about? I'm gonna need a few minutes of your time.
Liz takes in Ferris's badge and this surprising news, and then nods.
Yeah, okay.
They're putting her in the car.
In the car, the footage of Chris stopping the casino gunman is played. Liz looks on in astonishment. She shakes her head in disbelief.
This was 3 days ago?
He used you to get away from us in Vegas.
You can be pretty sure that everything he told you is a lie. He's delusional. Sociopath. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh shit. Oh shit.
Go back to the motel. Have a drink, put one of these in his glass.
It'll take 5 minutes to put him to sleep, then we'll come in and get him. Nobody's been hurt.
But this is important. You need to do it at least 2 minutes after you get him out of the room. Why
Why do you need me? Why can't you just get him?
Liz, as I understand it, you work for a federally funded program teaching on various reservations. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Well, I think you'd be eager to help us. We're on the same team.
Kavanagh and Ferris continue staring pointedly at Liz, who finally nods in submission. She climbs out of the car.
Now they're letting her go.
Liz remains standing alone in the street, a tear rolling down her cheek. Back at the motel, Liz comes in through the door. Chris rises, smiling.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for the note.
Sure.
Did you have a nice walk?
I did. You know, it's really beautiful here. I have a present for you.
Oh, thanks. I need that.
Yeah.
He kisses her, but she appears constrained and breaks away. He looks at her quizzically.
Is something wrong?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Now, why don't you go wash up and I'm gonna make us breakfast?
Okay.
Kavanagh and Ferris wait in the FBI truck. Chris has lathered his face and is shaving in front of the mirror. Liz chops strawberries in the motel kitchen. She glances with concern through the half-open bathroom door and then carries two bowls across to the table. She nervously pulls from her pocket the plastic drum of knockout tablets given to her by Kavanagh. Removing her cardigan, she crosses back and leans tensely against the worktop. She checks her watch, which reads 9 o'clock. Ferris in the truck does likewise.
45 seconds.
Rogal's killer and the Frenchman wait in a clearing where they have pitched their tent. A campfire blazes in the background. The killer gets up, a silenced pistol in one hand, and checking his own watch, walks across to where the Frenchman is seated. Liz, seemingly still unresolved, gets out one of the white tablets. Ferris counts down.
Minute 30.
Liz prepares to drop one of the pills into some orange juice. The killer walks down a bank towards an expanse of water. The French-speaking woman lies on the bank with binoculars next to a man with an enormous sniper's rifle with a powerful scope trained on the motel. Liz looks back towards where Chris, in the bathroom, is pulling on his t-shirt. Ferris looks at her watch.
And that's two.
Liz finally steels herself and pops the tablet into the glass just as Chris emerges. She turns towards him, holding the glass of juice.
Looks good.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up behind her, puts an arm around her shoulder and kisses her hair. As he turns and raises the glass...
Don't drink that. It's drugged. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Some federal agent came up to me and said that you were a delusional sociopath and showed me this tape. So maybe you are. But I don't want to believe that. I don't think I can believe that. And she also said that if you ran... I should drug you instead. Even if what they said is true, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. Chris, is it true?
He looks away, and then directly at her.
Shit.
Chris looks seriously at her disappointed face, and then moves slowly towards the window and peers through the curtain. He picks up the TV remote and turns it on. In the truck, Kavanagh and Ferris react to the TV noise which is spoiling their surveillance.
Give me broadband noise reduction. I don't like hearing this.
Speak quietly and act normally. How long did they say the drugs would take?
About 5 minutes. Nice
inside kick. Consulting his watch, Chris switches his glass for the other one and walks out onto the veranda. Ferris picks this up on her screen.
What is he doing?
He's drinking. Give it a minute.
Got a clean shot?
Not yet.
Chris goes back inside, thwarting the terrorist sniper, and comes up close to Liz.
A man in that casino would have killed two people. It happened. It just hadn't happened yet.
Oh my God, you are delusional.
Chris picks up the remote and seems to prepare for a test.
Fluffy cranberry or a stack of chocolate chip pancakes for the kids.
Fluffy cranberry or a stack of chocolate chip pancakes for the kids in an infant.
Safe? Who knows what's safe? I know a man who dropped dead from looking at his wife.
Safe? Who knows what's safe? I know a man dropped dead from looking at his wife.
You can't get lost in the woods if you never go into the woods.
You can't get lost in the woods if you never go into the woods.
Boy, you got an answer for everything.
Yep. That's right, sir. You're the only person authorized to do so.
That's right, sir. You are the only person authorized to do so.
How are you doing this?
I have no idea how, but I can. I was born with it.
Is this some kind of a trick?
You know we don't have time for that. You said anything was possible.
So you see things before they happen. You see the future.
My future. What'll affect me in only 2 minutes ahead. Except you. For some reason, I saw you. Far beyond anything I'd ever seen before, and I don't know why.
What do you mean you saw me? You've been doing that to me? That you know what I'm gonna do and what I'm gonna say, that you've just been setting me up?
No, I haven't. I wanted to find you because I needed to know why I was seeing you. And because I...
She has been backing away from his attempts to hold her and now sits down on the couch.
It wasn't a setup.
He sits next to her and takes her in his arms.
You think I can help them in matters of national security?
Yeah. Go code is received. The normal SSB radios in the aircraft.
I don't understand. If you can help them, why don't you?
Because I can't. I can only give them a 2-minute head start. And that's if my life is personally involved.
But with me, you can see further.
Yeah. But they don't know that.
He crosses over, takes an envelope from his jacket, and hands it to her.
There's almost $10,000 in this envelope. They know about you. You need to get away from here. What time do you have?
9:10.
Set your watch at 9:17. Read this when I leave, and wait exactly 45 seconds before you do what it says. I'll take Ferris with me. It might be a week or a month, but if you can wait, I'll find you.
He kisses her passionately, and then leaves. Her face is a mask of perplexity. Ferris and Kavanagh stand in the trailer. Ferris turns to look at the various monitor screens showing angles on the motel.
Something's wrong.
Ferris and Kavanagh run from the trailer to the silvery 4x4 parked outside. Ferris grabs a pair of binoculars and trains them on the motel. Chris walks down the motel steps. He looks at his watch. Inside, Liz opens the note he handed her and reads it. She takes it in and then looks intently at her watch. Chris seems to be staring directly at Ferris. She lets drop the binoculars.
Don't do it.
I already have.
He launches himself over the cliff.
Don't get him! Alive!
Let's go!
Crowds of undercover agents spring into action, bounding down the rocky slopes of the ravine in pursuit of Chris, who, back on his feet once again, is scrambling down through the trees and outcrops of stone. Liz gets to her vehicle and gets behind the wheel, turning the key in the ignition. The terrorist sniper gets a bead on Chris. He stops as if aware and then ducks his head out of the way of the bullet in the last minute. Liz starts her vehicle and then leaps out as it careers onwards, knocking over a tall water tower before plunging over the cliff. The wooden structure of the tower drags with it a trailer of logs and various pioneer-era wagons on display by the motel. Two agents duck for cover as the 4x4 hurtles down towards them. The vehicle rolls menacingly on Chris's heels. He ducks out of the way at the very last second. FBI agents dodge spoked wheels, barrels, and falling rocks. An ancient steam engine is dragged from the motel forecourt over the cliff. Men cower behind trees. Chris continues on downwards, skillfully dodging the debris. He passes between two huge stacks of logs. The engine shunts into one of the log piles. Chris reaches a road.
Johnson!
Ferris has him in her sights.
You know you're not gonna shoot.
She holsters her gun and then looks up at the noise from the high bank above. Stones roll down, then logs appear.
You're gonna let me die?
As the avalanche of logs tumbles towards them, Chris grabs Ferris and pulls her to the ground. Her car, flipped into the air, appears about to crush them, but is just stopped by a rolling log.
Hey, I need some help! Get him out of here!
Two more agents arrive and help Ferris pull Chris out.
Deed goes unpunished, does it?
Chris looks blearily at Ferris. The terrorists observe from above.
She got him.
Now what?
You see her?
C'est bon, je l'ai sur la route.
Liz is walking along the mountain road. The Frenchman pulls up level in his car and aims his silenced pistol at her. She holds her hands up in alarm. Chris is strapped to a wheelchair in a grimly grey room. A metal frame is clamped to his head, holding open his eyelids as a man in a lab coat drops liquid into them. Ferris appears. The man leaves. Ferris holds a cigarette in her hand.
Smoke?
He stares silently up at her. She slips the other cigarette back into the pack.
Thanks for today. Gotta let me die. I appreciate it. I was a real show of character. I know I seem like the bad guy in all this, but in the interests of preserving our freedom, there are larger issues at play.
What about my freedom?
With freedom comes responsibility.
I
have rights.
This isn't about you. This is about 8 million other people.
If I do what you want, you'll keep me in this chair forever.
There is a nuclear bomb somewhere in Los Angeles. And every television station in the world will broadcast the precise details of its detonation. So go on, push that 2 minutes as far as you can, and find it.
She switches on a large TV screen in front of his clamped open eyes. Ferris waits nervously. Ferris looks at her watch, which reads 3:15. Under Chris's stare, the screen appears to brighten to an intense white. The events on the screen seem to go into fast forward. An image of Liz, bound and gagged, appears.
Live in the news, interrupting your broadcast this afternoon for breaking news out of downtown Los Angeles.
Most of the nation's largest technology corporations oppose this idea, and tech lobbying is blamed for stalling the proposed
structure. And members of the LAPD bomb squad are staging in that area. We want to go live now to reporter Lisa Joyner at the scene for the very latest. Lisa.
Jack, the standoff began when police received an anonymous phone call stating that explosives would be detonated at this parking garage at 2nd and Broadway at 6 o'clock tonight. There's no, they have no idea on a motive. The victim, however, has been Now, earlier,
what did you say?
You saw the LAPD has surrounded the area. They've secured a perimeter, but now the bomb squad is making their way onto the deck of this building, and they're the men that are walking up with black suits on and such.
Liz is caught in the blast.
Oh my God! There's been an explosion. There's been an explosion. The victim has been identified as Elizabeth Cooper of Las Vegas, and she was strapped to a wheelchair. Sorry?
Approximately 10% of U.S. workers receive stock options. Many technology companies give the option away as part of
their... Tell me what just happened.
Yeah, I can't. It won't work like this. Just get me out of this room and I'll do what you want. I beg you, please get me out of this room.
Let him out!
Ferris leaves. A group of uniformed men come into the room, remove the eye clamps, and wheel Chris away. Ferris storms along the corridor.
Callie, wait up.
What?
Forensics report on Betty Peterson. The dead girl in the apartment, her throat was cut, bled out. Otherwise, nothing to DNA. The place was immaculate again. How'd it go with Johnson?
Well, something happened, but he's not sharing. You know, there are traces of potassium iodide.
Some medication Peterson was taking? They found an empty pill box.
No, the only reason to take it is to prevent radiation poisoning.
Chris is escorted fairly brusquely into a very spartan cell.
Oh, hey, wait, can I get a smoke or something? I need to relax.
One of the soldiers offers him a cigarette.
Thanks. Well, hey, can I get a light? Look at this. Look. Ta-da!
Chris distracts the guards and then fights his way out, outwitting the numerous armed guards by means of his gift of prescience. He hides behind a corner as one final guard comes running. Using a borrowed baton, he knocks the man violently off his feet. He strides away. He hurls the baton towards a doorway which is empty until a man appears at a run only to be knocked out by the weapon. Chris strides on, hiding in time to avoid detection. He passes a row of hideous metal restraint couches. He passes through an underground car park and out onto the sunlit street. Ferris and a bunch of agents run in pursuit through the dour brick corridors. Chris emerges and heads off down the street. Ferris appears with the others. They spot Chris disappearing round a corner. Chris pounds along between rows of traffic as the chopper circles.
Be advised, subject is turning east onto Broadway.
The FBI run in hot pursuit. Chris continues along the busy streets. He arrives in the entrance to a multi-story car park. As Ferris arrives in the entrance, Chris is already disappearing off up the stairs. Chris races up the stairs. Ferris pursues somewhat more slowly, pulling out her gun as she goes. Chris gets to the top. It is the scene of the explosion he has previsioned. He watches as the dreadful events play themselves out once more in his imagination. Ferris arrives at the top level.
Why are you here?
They killed her. 2 hours from now. They killed Liz.
Tell me what you saw.
I saw them execute her. Right there. On the roof.
It hasn't happened yet, and I know who has her. It's the same people we're after. There's a reason that they brought you here. They're using Liz as bait. 10 to 1, you go out on that roof, they're gonna put a bullet in your brain.
I know.
Right now, she's still alive. She is, you are, we all are. Let's try to keep it that way. I help you, you help me, all right?
I want a 2-mile radius, every telephone grid, shortwave, cell tower. Shut it down.
What do you want me to do?
Let him shoot you.
The terrorist sniper works on a rooftop overlooking the multi-story. Chris appears, walking across the car park roof. The man whips a cover off a huge rifle on a tripod. He aims. Chris, in the crosshairs, turns towards the sniper. Chris falls in a heap, apparently lifeless. The sniper pulls out his mobile and makes a call. Chopper full of agents guns down the sniper. Ferris approaches Chris's inert body.
You okay? I look pretty close.
Sleight of hand. You didn't get him.
Not alive. You fired on the chopper. But it doesn't matter. He couldn't call in the hit. So as far as they're concerned, you're not here yet. Buys us time.
Every way I try this, she still ends up dead.
What if you do it earlier? They have to bring her here in a vehicle, right?
Looking for a license plate.
Right.
Chris walks away, screwing his eyes shut in labored concentration.
Can you see it?
It helps if you don't speak right now.
Chris remains standing, eyes closed in deep concentration. A white van drives up onto the roof of the car park. Ferris is no longer standing behind him. The white van pulls up alongside Chris. Two men move round and open the rear doors. A third man inside the vehicle pushes forward the wheelchair in which sits Liz, gagged and bound, her upper body swathed in explosives. They lift her out and set the chair down on the tarmac. A hand sets what looks like a timer. She is clearly utterly terrified and struggles vainly in her seat. She remains entirely oblivious of Chris, who appears to be standing close by. As the van pulls away, the license plate is clearly visible.
California plate number 50K F272.
California tag 50 Kilo Foxtrot 272.
As Ferris, in the present, relays the details to her team, Chris stands still in the future, reaching out towards the struggling Liz. The van is parked at what appear to be the docks. The back doors are opened and Liz is led unwillingly towards the vehicle.
Please, where are you taking me?
Okay,
no problem.
What do you want with me? Alain, pay attention. Who the hell are you people?
The FBI team get ready.
Sitrep Kavanaugh.
Local SWAT has been deployed and the regional team just showed to back us up.
All right, listen up. A van carrying Elizabeth Cooper will exit the warehouse across from Pier 18 compound in approximately 5 minutes.
4 minutes and 27 seconds. Do you mind?
Not anymore. Go ahead.
They've got her wrapped in explosives, wired to a cell phone.
Remote trigger. Another cell phone sets it off. Usually a one-button speed dial.
You'll take this route to the entrance gate.
At that point, Alpha and Bravo will swarm the entrance.
If you could just be quiet and do exactly what I say, I'll save your life. We need to stop the vehicle here before they get through the gates.
Alpha and Bravo will hold and contain here. Sniper teams will initiate on Johnson's call. On his call. Are we clear? All elements shoot to kill any hostiles.
What about intel?
We don't need them. We have him. All right, everybody! Let's go!
The terrorists' van sets off. Two of their team head towards a waiting helicopter. A pair of navy blue FBI choppers swoop over the Dockland area. Liz, sitting in the rear of the van, looks around in fearful bemusement. The Frenchman glances coolly across at her. A fleet of FBI vehicles awash with heavily armed men swoop around the corner. The FBI choppers close in on the wharf where stands the terrorist's helicopter.
Go! Let's go!
Back up! Back up! Back up!
Liz holds on tight as the van speeds in reverse. The terrorists return fire on the FBI troops.
Not yet, you'll kill her.
The white van reverses at speed along a jetty.
Now!
Ferris shoots a pile of drums. The van is caught in the ensuing explosion. Liz is buffeted as the vehicle is blown over and rolled by the blast. Troops leap from hovering helicopters.
You're gonna go! Help! Help!
Charlie 1 on approach, inside of building.
Liz kicks open the rear doors of the van and struggles out. The Frenchman latches onto her ankle, but she kicks him in the face and runs away. Chris looks on with concern as Liz races towards a wharfside building. The Frenchman pursues her inside.
Pull back! Pull back! Alpha unit, help me! Take out the guy on the crane, northeast corner.
Negative, on a visual.
Give me that.
Aim for the doorway, 8 inches above the guardrail.
Ferris's aim is good, and the terrorist falls dead.
On me, let's go!
The Frenchman, cradling a wounded left arm, hobbles into the warehouse building. Hidden behind a stack of pallets, Liz struggles to free herself of the explosive belt. The Frenchman runs up the set of stairs. The French woman is in the office. The trio of chief terrorists snap clips of ammunition into their weapons. Liz continues to struggle desperately, then runs towards the outside again. Chris appears to be orchestrating the FBI firepower, and to good effect.
This is David, Charlie 1 at entry point.
Chris and the FBI troops head inside. Liz looks cautiously around a stack of pallets to see the French woman.
Charlie
turn right. You're clear.
The three chief terrorists appear to be scouring the building. Liz dodges desperately among the stacks of pallets. A hand grabs her mouth. It is the head terrorist. As the battle continues apace, the terrorist trio emerge, holding Liz hostage.
Stop.
No!
Go.
Chris walks out, surrounded by the FBI team. The terrorists manhandle Liz up the gangway to a sizable ship. They drag her inside the vessel. Chris and the FBI team run up the gangway. Liz is herded through the corridors of the ship. Ferris and Chris walk cautiously in the wake of the terrorist gang.
This is Charlie One Element, moving and clearing, over.
Chris tips Ferris off to a gunman at the end of the corridor, whom she shoots dead. Below, in the engine room, the terrorists move warily forward. The Frenchwoman attaches a magnetic device to a bank of equipment and primes it with a remote control. A tiny green beam shines from the device across the gangway. Chris and Ferris's team enter the engine room. Chris stops and suddenly winces as if in agony. He lays a hand on the shoulder of one of the men and points towards the device. The terrorists continue on through the bowels of the ship. The FBI man examines the device and with utmost caution disconnects a set of wires. Breathing a sigh of relief, he gets up and, turning to Chris, the team move on, down into the hold. The terrorists cannot now be far ahead as they continue leading Liz deeper into the ship's belly. Chris, walking next to Ferris, seems to get another premonition of danger.
There are explosives there, there, and there. Stay close.
Chris leads the team through the steaming maze of pipes and metal walkways. A bullet hole appears in his chest and he falls to his knees and then onto his face. Chris walks around the same corner for a second time, the team close behind him. He stops dead.
Sniper.
Where?
Behind us.
Sniper. Got a visual?
Nobody move. I'll find him.
The Frenchman stands on a high catwalk, aiming his rifle.
Catwalk, second level.
Catwalk,
6 o'clock, second level.
Got him.
The Frenchman is peppered with bullets and falls from the catwalk, his left leg caught in a chain, leaving him dangling in midair. The Frenchwoman continues to doggedly place magnetic charges to the metal framework of the gangway.
We'll have to clear this deck by deck.
You take this one, I'll do the rest.
Let's sweep and clear.
As the FBI team fan out, Chris stands stock still and then, as if by an effort of will, splits himself into three Chrises, sending one forward and one aft. The Chris who has gone forward comes to a junction and splits again. At the base of a staircase, Chris looks at his watch and splits into three. As one of the three reaches the top of the stairs, he looks around. There are Chrises all around on several levels, searching, passing close by each other and moving on. The hold is now positively swarming with Chrises.
Okay.
The FBI team move cautiously among freight containers. The Frenchwoman appears from around a corner and shoots Kavanagh, only to be swiftly killed by Ferris. Ferris looks back towards Kavanagh with deep sadness, but then moves on again. Chris walks along a catwalk. A terrible explosion sends him plummeting downwards. Coming around the same corner a second time, he receives a premonition of danger, splits in two, and walks away. Pausing at a railing and looking down, he spots the only remaining terrorist with Liz in an arm lock. The Chris looking on disappears. The FBI team return to where they left Chris standing.
She's near the engine room.
The terrorist, using Liz as a shield, moves cautiously among the containers. The FBI team approach.
Come on, man. Release the hostage. You can still get out of this.
Don't patronize me. How good are you with that gun?
Barry.
You're gonna be okay, Liz.
Back off!
I've seen every possible ending here. None of them are good for you.
I'll take my chances. One more step, fortune teller, and it definitely won't be good for you.
Chris walks towards the terrorist, splitting into multiple expendable Chrises who take the many bullets.
You have one way out of this.
The terrorist holds up the detonator.
That wasn't it.
Ferris fells the terrorist.
Liz, look at me. It's okay. Look at me. It's over. It's over.
No, it's not. The nuclear device was moved. We need to find its exact location. Now this registers any significant detonation in the Earth's crust. Take a look. Tell me what you see.
Chris stares at the computer screen showing the California coastline.
Something's wrong. I made a mistake.
What?
I made a mistake. It's happening.
When?
Now!
Chris grabs Liz to protect her as the nuclear blast goes off, bathing the entire scene in searing light and then carrying away everything in its path, twisting and breaking the large ship as if it were a toy. Blackness. Chris's eyes open. He is lying in the bed of the Cliffhanger Motel with Liz cradled on his chest. He gently caresses her shoulder. The motel perches on the edge of the wooded canyon. The FBI team mobilize from their trailer.
All right, I got four teams in place. We're just waiting on the road crew.
All right. Ferris.
It's me. I'll do it, but I have conditions. I want her left out of it.
I'm sure we can work something out.
Chris comes back into the motel room from where he has been out on the veranda phoning Ferris. He pauses, putting a hand to his forehead. He then crosses slowly to the bed where Liz still lies sleeping. Appearing to realize that something serious is up, Liz snaps awake and sits up in bed looking at Chris with a grave expression.
Are you coming back?
Yeah. Maybe a week. Or a month.
you can wait, I'll find you.
They kiss. He gets up and leaves. She continues looking after him, her face full of sadness. On the steps of the motel, Chris sits. A black SUV cruises onto the forecourt.
Here's the thing about the future. Every time you look at it, it changes. Because you looked at it, and that changes everything else.
Ferris gets out from the vehicle and comes around to where Chris is now standing.
You ready?
Yeah.
They climb into the car together. The end.